The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadows of the dead, as light has dawned.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder.
For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this.
And one of the things I've really enjoyed about running the house is rediscovering the power and beauty of the gospel. It's very easy as adults to let this wash over us because we've heard the message so many times before. So it's been really good for Lynn and I to take a fresh look at what it means to be a Christian through younger eyes as they start out on their journeys of faith. And that's what we're going to do today, through the eyes of Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy, as we go on a brief journey to Narnia. So who here has read the book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, or seen the film? Quick show of hands, fantastic. Okay, so just very briefly, just for like a minute or so, could you share with someone sitting near you one thing that you remember about that story? Okay, just very quickly then, does anybody want to share one thing? You willing to share? Anything you remember about the story?
Quite little, a long time ago now, but it was the atmosphere of the whole thing, Tom. It just sort of drew your whole in. It was really quite spiritual and exciting, I think, at that stage.
That's it. Thank you. Great story. Anybody else? Anybody over here? Who's willing to say, share something? Yeah.
I think what was interesting was that the children telling what they'd seen through the wardrobe and the others not believing.
So seeing something different, but others maybe not believing. And finally, one thing over here. Yeah, Kathy.
Seeing Aslan is like seeing Jesus all over again.
Yes, Aslan the lion. Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to start by watching a short clip from the film. And just to set the background for this, Lucy and Edmund, if you remember, have already been to Narnia once before on their own, and now all four children have just stumbled through the wardrobe again into this strange world and are having tea with Mr. and Mrs. Beaver.
Fish and chips! But there is hope, dear. Lots of hope.
Oh, yeah, there's a right bit more than hope.
Aslan is on the move.
Who's Aslan?
Who's Aslan? You cheeky little blighter. What? You don't know, do you?
Well, we haven't exactly been here very long.
Well, he's only the king of the whole wood. The top geezer. The real king of Narnia.
He's been away for a long while.
But he's just got back. And he's waiting for you near the stone table.
He's waiting for us.
You're blooming joking. They don't even know about the prophecy.
And of course, that prophecy was, wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. Aslan, of course, represents Jesus, the Lion of Judah. And his prophecy is about Aslan's return, when the spell of the wicked witch will be cast, that she's cast over Narnia, will finally be broken once and for all. When winter will turn to spring. When the creatures that the witch has turned into stone will come back to life. And the beauty of creation will be restored. During this period of Advent, we anticipate and celebrate the birth of Christ, the first coming of Jesus. We remember that God came down from heaven and entered our world as a helpless child to show us how to live and to die in our place. but especially this first week in Advent, we are also encouraged to look forward to the second coming of Jesus, when he will come again in glory. But what is this second coming about? Are we looking forward to it? And how should it affect the way that we live in the here and now? One of my favourite passages is from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and I saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for all these things are gone forever." This is a picture of the kingdom of God in all its fullness and glory, the end times, after Jesus has come back again, when all things will be under his rule and authority. At the start of his earthly ministry, Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is near. And wherever he goes, we see God's kingdom breaking through. The sick are healed, the hungry are fed, those in bondage are set free, and good news is preached to the poor. The ancient prophecies that in the Old Testament that the Jewish people had been holding on to for hundreds of years are at last fulfilled in the life of Christ. And now we wait for them to come to perfect fruition when Jesus returns. The vision we're given of God's kingdom in Revelation, Isaiah, and elsewhere is one of peace, joy, abundance, life in all its fullness, without the shadow of death or illness, and surrounded by the glorious presence of God. This is what we have to look forward to. In today's reading from Isaiah, we hear about the birth of a special child, a son. And then Isaiah goes on to describe who this child will be. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and what his kingdom will look like. Of the increase in his government and peace, there will be no end. He will rule over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that day on and forever. I want to focus briefly on those two words, justice and righteousness, and what they tell us about the kingdom of God. Now, my knowledge of the Hebrew language is limited to two words, mishpat and tzedakah, which are usually translated as justice and righteousness, though in fact neither word has a direct equivalent in English. According to John Goldingray, a leading expert on Isaiah, mishpat is about the exercise of authority or power, and tzedakah is about right relationships, doing the right thing in relation to other people, in the community we belong to, and to God. So when these two words are paired together, as they are many times in the Bible, mishpat and tzedakah is about the faithful exercise of authority or power for the mutual benefit and flourishing of everyone and everything. It's about a life of right relationships. And for those in power or authority, it's about treating people equitably, fairly, especially the vulnerable and the poor. And of course, we're nearly all in positions of authority in some aspects of our lives, as parents, as carers, as community leaders, teachers, line managers, employers, and public officials. Mishpat and tzedakah can be expressed at many different levels. With our families and friends, it's about healthy, loving relationships, motivated by a desire to see others do well and to flourish, putting the interests of others above our own. In our workplaces, it's about treating staff, customers, and clients fairly and humanely, having their best interests at heart, not just the bottom line. In our nation, it's about justice and compassion, governing for the benefit of all, especially the poor and the marginalised. And in our world, it's about striving for peace and for close and equal relations with people of other nations. And it's about looking after God's creation. This Advent time, as we look forward to Jesus' return and to God's kingdom in all its fullness, we anticipate a time when the world will be as God intended it to be, with God at the centre, and our relationships with each other and with our world redeemed and restored, on earth as it is in heaven. But of course, that isn't the present reality that we live in. We see God's kingdom, but only in part. We see glimpses of God's glory in the world, but we have to wait for the time when the glory will fill the whole of creation. In relation to justice and righteousness, we can see that most of our social problems occur when mishpat and tzedaka are not present. Family conflict and breakdown, unfair work practices, corporate greed, child poverty, extreme inequalities in wealth, trade wars and military wars, and environmental degradation. In her book, The Meaning is in the Waiting, Paula Gooder puts it like this: we are between the beginning of the end and the end of the end. We have a vision of the world as God yearns for it to be, but not the ability to bring it about in full. And I think this helps to explain that almost but not quite sense that fills so much of our Christian experience. Answered prayers alongside seemingly unanswered ones. That longing for something more, something deeper. We know what could happen, even what ought to happen, but cannot quite get there. Today's passage from Isaiah 9 is a stark reminder of that. It is a wonderful and inspiring message of hope, a beam of light, but it's surrounded either side by some very gloomy passages in Isaiah 8 and 10, where Isaiah prophesies the imminent destruction of Israel as punishment for their continued unfaithfulness. Back to the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. After telling the children about the great Aslan, Peter, Susan and Lucy set off on foot with Mr. and Mrs. Beaver to meet him at the round table. In the meantime, Edmund has snuck off to get some more Turkish delight from the witch, only to become her prisoner. They too set off by sled to intercept Mr. and Mrs. Beaver and the children before they meet Aslan. But on the way, the first signs of spring begin to break through the permafrost of Narnia. The snow begins to thaw, crocuses appear, and birds start to sing, and the witch's sled gets stuck in the slush. Aslan is on the move. Now, the observant people among you will have noticed the candles set up for this evening's Advent services, but I wonder if you've also noticed any other Christmas decorations around the church today. A reminder, if we need one, that Christmas is on the way. These decorations are quite subtle, and you might have missed them if you weren't intentionally looking out for them. It's the same with God's kingdom. The signs are there if we're alert and actively searching for them. Jesus is on the move. So how should we live in these in-between times, knowing that God's kingdom is coming, that Jesus will return in glory, and evil will be defeated, yet also knowing that this isn't yet the case, at least not in full? One approach I would definitely not recommend, based on personal experience, is to try escaping to Narnia, however attractive it may sound. And I know from a quick internet search that I'm not the only one who's tried and failed. Two other things we mustn't do. There's no point trying to second guess when Jesus is going to come back, becoming obsessed with the future instead of living in the present. Also, we shouldn't let ourselves get down and depressed because the world doesn't live up to God's perfect vision of the future. Paula Gooder again puts it like this: visions of the end exist neither so that we should all stand around training our eyes on the horizon, nor so that we can feel depressed about the state of the current world, but so that we can learn to recognise the signs of that new reality and encourage that birth in our midst now. So, three challenges as we draw to a close. Firstly, how can we learn to recognise the signs of God's kingdom in our own lives? How can we intentionally look out for and celebrate these glimpses of God's glory? Here are a few examples that came to me whilst I was preparing the sermon, which I hope will stir your own thoughts and memories. Firstly, going for a walk on Ashton Common with Lynn and seeing the beauty of the autumn trees a few weeks ago. Visiting our son at uni and going out for a meal with the whole family. The joy of being all together, sharing good food and laughter. Seeing a friend of mine who is coping bravely with cancer treatment and has remained faithful to God in spite of current circumstances. Helping a CAB client of mine to claim child benefits that she should have been getting for her 17-year-old. The family was really struggling financially, so it was great to see her relief and joy at this early Christmas gift. Hearing about the change in the gambling laws on fixed odds betting terminals, knowing that it will save thousands of people from becoming addicted to gambling. These are all signs of God's kingdom, light shining in the darkness, the world as God wants and intends it to be, Mishpat and Tzedakah. As we prepare for Christmas, as we wait for Jesus to come back, let's keep on looking out for more signs of God's visible presence in our lives. And let's rejoice and praise our God whose kingdom these herald. Secondly, what can we do in the here and now to make God's kingdom more of a reality in the world around us? Waiting for the future involves transforming the present. God calls and equips us to do what we can to bring in his kingdom in our homes, our workplaces and our communities, preparing and training us for a time when we will rule under him in the new earth and the new heaven. Back in Narnia, Peter and Edmund fight valiantly against the witch and her evil army, bravely disarming the witch of her wand before Aslan enters the fray to make the final kill. We too are in a spiritual battle, albeit one in which the victory has already been won for us. We are called by God to play an active role in restoring his kingdom, in righting the wrongs of this world, restoring broken relationships and fighting against injustice, using the gifts that God has given to each of us with Jesus by our side. We can do very little of value in our own strength, but in his strength and with his wisdom, all things are possible. And finally, the one constant that never changes is God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. His presence with us and in us is the key to experiencing more of his kingdom. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the veil separating us from God has been torn away, and we can approach his throne of grace with confidence and hope. There is a lovely scene towards the end of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which takes place near the giant stone table, shortly after Aslan has risen from the dead, to the amazement and shock of Lucy and Susan. "O children," said the lion, talking to Susan and Lucy, "I feel my strength coming back. O children, catch me if you can." He stood for a second, his eyes very bright, his limbs quivering, lashing himself with his tail. And then he made a leap high over their heads and landed on the other side of the stone table. Laughing, though she didn't know why, Lucy scrambled over to reach him. Aslan leaped again. A mad chase began. Round and round the hilltop he led them, now hopelessly out of their reach, now letting them almost catch his tail, now diving between them and tossing them in the air with his huge and beautifully velveted paws and catching them again. And now sopping unexpectedly, so that all three of them rolled over together in a happy, laughing heap of fur and arms and legs. It was such a romp as no one has ever had except in Narnia. And whether it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or playing with a kitten, Lucy could never quite make up her mind. And the funny thing was that when all three finally lay together, panting in the sun, the girls no longer felt in the least bit tired or hungry or thirsty. I hope this week that you can make time to romp with God, just to be with him, with no reason other than to soak in his presence. Lynn has her quiet time every night in the bath, so she literally soaks in his presence. Find your secret place where you can be with God. Sit quietly, go for a walk or a run, meditate on his words, or listen to a worship song. Whatever it is that helps you to enter his presence and ask him to show you his eternal kingdom. Amen.